If you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Continue that series in the Gospel of Mark, the second of the four Gospels. If you are looking for that in your provided Bibles, you can find that on page 1008. Let us now hear God's Holy Word. We're going to be looking at verses 46 through 52 of Mark chapter 10. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. So far, reading in God's holy word. Let's take a moment of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, would you bless these words upon our lives, that we may take up our cross and follow you on the road. Amen. Beloved people of God, as I've read more and more of Mark, I've come to appreciate that he is an amazing narrator. It has escaped me many times before the wonders of how Mark has portrayed this gospel. Just think about it. In the first eight chapters, he has been portraying Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God. And we've been asking that question in those first eight chapters, who is Jesus? And in between that section, between the first eight chapters and then chapters 9 through 10, there was the healing of a blind man. And again, as we transition into a new section, going from what one commentator calls from Act 2 to Act 3, we see again a healing of a blind man. And both these healings serve as an illustration. In chapter 8, there was that illustration of the disciples themselves, as that blind person in Bethsaida had a two-stage healing, where Jesus first sought to heal, or was healing him, and he looked up and he said, "I see men, but they're as trees walking around." He didn't quite see clearly. And Jesus again came to him, and when he looked up again, he said he could see everything clearly. And then we are brought into that section where the disciples are able to say that you are the Christ. The question that they asked, who is the one who can control the wind and the waves, is answered as they say, he is the Christ. But then they cannot recognize what this means, what the Christ has come to do, and what that means for them. They only see partially. But as we close off that section of chapters 8 through 10, we again meet a healing of a blind man. And it's not insignificant that again a blind man is healed, and here he seeks to illustrate and model a true disciple. A model disciple is portrayed here. Because even though he is physically blind, he appears to see better than the disciples, than the crowds, than those Pharisees and scribes. He sees clearer than any of the other characters we have met so far. And so the theme this afternoon is the persistent faith of the blind beggar Bartimaeus is blessed with healing from the Son of David. The persistent faith of the blind beggar Bartimaeus is blessed with healing from the Son of David. And we will look at this passage in 3 points as we see a pitiful and persistent blind man. Secondly, we will see the precious call of Christ. And thirdly, we will see the purposeful contrast. The pitiful and persistent blind man, the precious call of Christ, and the purposeful contrast. But as we look at that first point, we see this pitiful and persistent blind man in a certain setting that Mark has described for us. And as we've seen time and time again, we ought to take time to look at these settings. These things are important as Mark is teaching us something, and as Jesus' word or God's word helps us grow through this. And so we see that Jesus is passing through Jericho. Jericho is that last city before the 1,000-meter climb to Jerusalem, that place that he is headed. And again, Jesus is on this road up to Jerusalem, where he has set his face like a flint. He is going there willingly in obedience to the Father, willing to suffer and die. And throughout this entire section, we have seen this regular phrase, seemingly some sort of throwaway phrase. But if we look carefully, we see the frequency of it as he teaches his disciples. In chapter 8, 27, it used that phrase, on the road or on the way. 9, 33 and 34, again, on the way or on the road, as it's sometimes translated. In 10, 17, 32, and 52, this very same phrase is used again and again about being on the way. And Jesus has been turning to his disciples on the way, teaching them about what he has come to do and what that means for them. And those disciples follow him along the way, and on this journey, he is discipling them. Yet, where do we find Bartimaeus at the very beginning of this story? Verse 46 says, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Alongside the road, sitting. A blind, seemingly by the world insignificant beggar. Someone in great need. And this is a description that is important. It should not just lightly be understood. But this man is blind, living in darkness, unable to work, unable to live on his own, dependent upon others. And he's on the outskirts of town. He's on the outside of society where he begs. A social outcast sitting along the way. Sitting alongside the road. Nothing much more than a nuisance to society. Unable to add anything but only taking from the hard-working citizens of Jericho. However, the Spirit has revealed something very important to him. He may be physically blind, but he has better sight than many of those who have their two eyes. Look at what he cries out when he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth who is coming. In verse 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." This is not an insignificant title that he has given Jesus. He calls him the Son of David. And with spiritual eyes, he recognizes that this is the King. This is the promised one. This is the one whom is the anointed heir of the throne of Jerusalem. And in many respects, Bartimaeus is the one who starts the triumphal entry. In chapter 11, which we will look at the next time I am with you, Lord willing, there are many who join Bartimaeus in shouting to Jesus. In verse 9, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Bartimaeus, this blind social outcast, is the first to recognize the significance of Jesus. Yet we must remember, as Matthew 16 says, as Jesus teaches Peter, that flesh and blood did not reveal this to him, but that spiritual sight came to him before he received his physical sight. And his faith in Christ is a fruit of the sight brought about not by flesh and blood or of man's will, but by the Spirit's work. In this recognition of who Jesus is, makes Bartimaeus persistent. His faith means that he will not be shushed by the crowds, for these crowds are seeking to quiet him down. If they are to believe what Bartimaeus is saying, then he ought to shush, be quiet. This is unbecoming of a man. You shouldn't be shouting after this king. Don't be a nuisance. Don't beg from a king. It's not very flattering. It's an embarrassment to us as the city of Jericho. And they see this man as having no dignity, a disgrace. But Bartimaeus won't miss out on the opportunity. And when the crowd seek to shush this outsider, it makes him cry out all the more, because he sees his need. He sees the truth of Jesus, the Son of David, who loves, values, and cares for those the world considers insignificant, broken, and outsiders. He is the one who gives sight to the blind. And so he will not be silenced. Jesus' response to this is precious. It shows his compassion for the man as we look at that second point, the precious call of Christ. Though the people may have become accustomed to his cries for mercy and money each day, Jesus does not see him as a nuisance. He isn't too busy with his kingly duties to not serve this man. And he pauses his pilgrimage, and likely the pilgrimage of many others, as this large crowd is following him. And he calls the man unto himself. Where others have seen him as a nuisance and an annoyance, Jesus stops to heal him. He's compassionate to him. People of God, see the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ as he stops and continues to fulfill the calling of the Son of David, the Son of Man, as he seeks and serves. Again, he is seen as serving the hurting and the helpless. He continues to be a servant of all who meets those people's needs. And we are to see the words of hope from Isaiah 35 being fulfilled As we read, "Take courage. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be stopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy." The crowd suddenly turns and changes their tune and say these very words, "Take courage. Stand up. Jesus is calling you." And when he goes to Jesus, Jesus tells him, "His faith has made you well. It has saved you," literally, it says. Now, we should not take this to mean that it is his faith that is the agent of healing. We do not conclude that somehow our faith is what heals. But it's clearly Christ's work. And Jesus heals him because of his faith. Faith is a necessary fruit of God's salvation in your life. It also is the means by which we are saved. And so this man's faith is rewarded, even that faith that comes from God himself. And so the final words about Bartimaeus show him in a completely different circumstance and situation. Notice those final words. Where he was once sitting on the side of the road as a blind beggar, he now is following him on the road. He is a disciple. He is following Jesus to Jerusalem. One who was without hope alongside the road now follows him, his life completely changed with new eyes. Yet as I mentioned before, we ought to see him as a model disciple. In fact, it's quite interesting that he is the only person that is actually given the name, or the name is actually given by God in the Word for someone who is healed. Yes, there were those who were seeking healing for someone else, but Bartimaeus is the only one who has been healed and his name has been given. And this is likely because he is an important person in the life of the church, or someone who has become well known by the audience to whom Mark writes. He is this model disciple. And the passage in many ways invites us to contrast him with what has been said before concerning discipleship. In fact, if you look at the very question that Jesus asks, what is that question that he asks? It's the very same question that was asked back in verse 36, where James and John were seeking after Jesus. And he asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, James and John, they asked for fame, they asked for honor. They asked for these positions of power and authority. They had not yet seen their need for salvation, but this man, as the blind man, recognizes not only his physical need, but his spiritual need. He comes asking for sight. And so, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Are you looking for a lavish and easy road to heaven? Well, Jesus says you're going to have to give up everything. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. You're going to have the sight that what you really need is his salvation, his works, his life. You need him. You're going to have to see that all your works, your wealth, your dignity are all rubbish. You are going to have to suffer shame, self-denial, and you are going to have to be a servant and not a master. And there is where you will have true sight. What do you want Jesus to do for you? But also note the contrast of the very hopeful and respectable potential follower of the rich young ruler. Remember, he came with everything to give. He had good works. He had wealth. He was a significant man in society who had much to offer for the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, I want none of it. I want you to see my kingdom is rich, and you need none of your own. He tells him to get rid of all of it and find even greater treasure in the kingdom of heaven. Get rid of what is valuable here on earth and gain the riches of the treasure hidden in me and in my kingdom. He says, I want nothing that you bring, but I want you to cling to the cross. Did you notice that very strange little detail that Mark recorded in verse 50? What did the model disciple do? Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. It is likely all that this man had. This blind beggar, giving up his only source of warmth on those chilly nights. Yet he saw the treasure that he could have and the salvation found in Jesus Christ. And he is like a little child who has been brought to Jesus as a blind man, and he comes with nothing to offer. He comes with nothing of value and only his need. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Do you seek after him for his salvation? For his cross? For his blessed way of service? Beloved people of God, Bartimaeus shows us a model disciple. One who sees but had no eyesight, who saw his needs. He was not merely physical, but spiritual. And we see that our problem is not merely physical, but spiritual. We can see with 20/20 vision and still be blind for our need for forgiveness for our sins. Yet Bartimaeus saw his greatest need. He was not after fame and fortune from this great king, but instead he cried out for mercy, not just once or twice, but persistently until he was heard. Our lives must be lived in that cycle of crying out day and night for God's mercy. We must live in repentance and faith and thanksgiving. Bartimaeus shows that we must sacrifice all, leaving everything, to joyfully take up our cross and follow him. We must leave behind all that is nothing, which is truly just a dirty rag, all our riches, our good works, that the rich young ruler had so much hope in bringing. Yet we leave behind nothing but a dirty cloak like the blind man. Yet what he gained was so much more than what he lost. And so we too, people of God, must recognize our need for him and continue to turn to him in faith, continue asking for mercy from the Son of David. Let's pray. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Amen.